Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm Jeff Howard, and I'm very happy to have filmmaker Chris Brown with me. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Jeff.
All right, for all of you listening, you should know that the podcast before this one was a nice hour-plus conversation where I interviewed Chris and got so much information about him and his film Pleroma. You should listen to that because, what can I say, it's a really good one. Good guy, nice guy, and interesting guy. So you should listen to the podcast before this one to learn all about Chris and his film and his filmmaking and his long career. But this podcast is a four questions podcast, which means I'm going to have Chris answer three favorite films, an underrated film, an overrated film, and a lesser known film that people should seek out. Before we started recording, he was champing at the bit to start giving me the answers. So I'm not even going to bother with any more intro. We're not quite a minute in, and you want to just start with your favorites?
Sure. I call them my favorites, but also I would say, because it's obviously very hard to pick your favorite films, but I would say my most influential films creatively. So the ones that just sort of jived with me and made me really inspired and want to at least emulate in some ways the films that these are. So my number one would be District 9. Huge influence on me as a filmmaker. My second film, equally influential for me, is Dark City, actually. Huge fan of that. Love the aesthetic, love the plot twist, love the sci-fi, and the way it works on many deeper levels, yet still be this extremely entertaining thrill ride. And then the third one is, I would say, I'm just going to throw an easy one out here, would be Back to the Future. And the reason why I chose it, because I think it is a perfect film on all levels, all filmmaking levels, whether it be the writing, the soundtrack, the storytelling, just everything about it, I thought is just perfect. So thought
I'd throw that in there. I'm with you 100% on that. I think it is a perfect film. I think it's a perfect script. Mm-hmm. I think that is perfection. And by the way, District 9, I can't name the director, but he's
Neil Blomkamp.
And he's fantastic. Did you watch that Oates Studios?
Yes.
Series on, I think that is like something that people got to seek out some of those films, I'm just mad that he didn't make a feature out of.
Maybe he will.
But I assume they were like ideas, but yeah, he has, it's like, up there with Dark Mirror for me as far as and Love, Death, and Robots. It's like a fantastic anthology of ideas from him.
Yeah. Incredible.
Yeah. So, yeah, and District 9 was obviously like huge.
Yeah. Completely.
And by the way, Dark City. I don't know it.
Oh, you don't know Dark City?
I don't think so.
Alex Proyas. It came out in the early 90s. It's a very film noir film. And it's got this incredible sci-fi element to it that's interwoven into the story. And it's just an incredible movie in terms of mood, but also the storytelling of the sci-fi element that I don't want to give away. And it actually works on many levels of psychology and humanity, and it has just one of the best plot twists I've seen in a film, and I just absolutely love it. I highly recommend people check it out. It actually was not a huge hit when it was first released, but it gained a humongous cult following, and with good reason too. It's an incredible film.
Well, you used a lot of key words there that make me want to watch it ASAP because it sounds like it's right up my alley.
Yeah, I would say so.
And I missed it. I clearly missed it. All right, you want to do question two, which is an underrated film?
Can I say a two-parter, two films in there?
Yes, you can. My usual joke, God, people. There are a couple dedicated listeners who listen to every episode, and they don't yell at me for repeating myself so much, but I don't have black and white pinstripes with a whistle. No referee's going to blow a whistle at you for naming two films. So feel free. Name two, name three.
Okay, I got two. One of them, just sticking with the theme, Elysium, which was by Neil Blomkamp as well. So it was a second feature film. I loved it. A lot of people, took issue with it, and I'm not 100% sure why, because it's really a great, aesthetically awesome-looking original film that was incredibly entertaining and looked cool, felt super cool, and, you know, I think it should have done extremely well, and I think it did all right, but it's just not talked about as much as I would expect for a film that I liked so much. So that would be Elysium. The other one that was underrated was Duel.
The Duel, why am I blanking on it? The Scott.
Ridley Scott.
Ridley Scott,
yeah,
film.
Yeah, the one that came out recently. Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
The remake. Was it a remake?
No. It was, it's its own thing.
It's its own thing.
Yeah. It's Ridley Scott. It was... Ben Affleck is in it, Matt Damon, and it bombed apparently at the theater. Maybe COVID was partly to blame, and maybe I was incredibly thrilled by it because it was the first theatrical movie I'd seen after 2 years of the pandemic. But it was a film that I felt like so incredibly affected by it. I almost had like the last battle of the movie. I actually felt like my heart pounding, like it was going to burst out of my chest. Like I almost had like a physiological response to it. It was so intense for me. And I don't even know if I've had that experience from a film before, but I was like literally on the edge of my seat. My breathing was like affected. Like I was really physiologically affected by this film. It was so incredible. And it was the way it was told, like it sort of retells things, but from different perspectives. So you keep going back to the same thing. You're reliving it. And it was such a great depiction of how a memory works, because someone might be upset about how someone said something or what they said, but from another perspective, it was in a completely different context. And you can see how those have a ripple effect on how people behave later. So it was very unique in that sense. I think all of them brought their A game to the project. It looked great, and it did not feel, it felt very original. And I think people should give it a try.
Honestly, I don't think there's any argument that Tony Scott is a master.
Ridley.
I'm sorry, Ridley.
Both.
Tony passed. We lost Tony. Yeah. Oh my God, what a brain fart. But yeah, Ridley Scott's just amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, his body of work speaks for itself. But
absolutely.
And I admit, I'm one of those people who skipped Duel because people did kind of crap on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Okay. Now you've given me another one to look up. Mm-hmm. Dark City and Duel. Both. Yeah. All right. Question 3 is overrated.
This one was a tough one. This one I found was overrated because I watched it recently and I really enjoyed it the first round. But then when I saw it again, it bothered me. So the movie is Casino by Martin Scorsese. I love Martin Scorsese. You know, I think he's brilliant. But that particular movie had, and what bothered me was it was like so much narration. I get bothered by narration because you're telling me the story where I should be watching the story or experiencing it. But as soon as someone's telling you, it's like it already happened and it's being explained to you rather than me living in the moment. And there are some great moments in it, but I just like 3/4 of the way through and it's still going, the narration is still dominating. So yeah, that is why I put it as an overrated.
I back you up 100%. I mean, I'm a Scorsese fan, but I just think, why would I watch Casino again when I could watch Goodfellas again? Basically, that's a very simplistic point of view. But but yeah, I might have thought it was overrated from the first time I saw it in the theaters because I was like, I don't know. Let's stop retreading. But anyway, cool. And you have another?
Oh, for overrated?
Or overrated, you just had the one. I don't know why I'm assuming you were going to go 2 for every question.
Yeah, no, I think I'm good on that one.
Good enough.
No, we'll just leave it at
good
that.
Good enough. No, you don't have to. Oh, are you laughing because you're like, I'm not going to say the thing that's going to get me hate mail. As if, but you wouldn't. But anyhow. Oh, geez, that brings us to question number 4 pretty quickly, which is a lesser known film for people to seek out.
Okay, I would say the movie is called Kafka. Starring Jeremy Irons, and it's like It's about the writer Kafka, but it's almost like he's living in his own story. And it's got
Steven Soderbergh's follow-up to Sex, Lies, and Videotape.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love that film.
With Sex, Lies, and Videotape, well, or Kafka?
Both. I love Kafka,
too. Oh, you know, yeah, Kafka. Yeah. Okay, it's one of those films that I really loved, and I find nobody's talking about it. So I don't know. Is it underrated? I feel like it's underrated just because I never hear anything about it, but...
Yeah, well, you tell me. But you're calling it lesser known, and
oh,
sure.
Oh, sorry, lesser. That's lesser what known. I mean.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't mean underrated. I meant lesser.
Yeah, no, known. I mean people. I don't know how many people have seen it. I think it's. I mean, I'm a huge Soderbergh fan.
Mm.
I think he rarely missteps, and yeah, Kafka is probably a must watch again. I haven't seen it for a long time, but
same here. I don't know. It popped in. I still think about it. Popped into my head recently. But yeah, I thought lesser known just because people, I don't know if I've ever heard someone talk about it.
People don't bring it up. I actually think Soderbergh doesn't get brought up enough in general.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's, one of the masters as well. And I'll just give you an aside because you'll find this interesting, I hope, which is I read an interview with him where he said, well, because my style changes a lot from film to film, I think I don't get as much recognition because you don't look at it and go, well, that's a Soderbergh film. Mm-hmm. Like you look at something, you're like, well, that's Scorsese.
Mm-hmm.
You look at something, that's Spielberg. Whereas, you know, Soderbergh changes it up like crazy all the time. Yeah. Although I would argue with him. I go, no, I see certain shots, even in the Oceans films. I'm like, no, only you would do that.
Mm-hmm.
He's so inventive.
But. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. All right. Well, geez. Very nice. Anything you want to add to your list? You're good?
I think I'm good. I mean, yeah, I think that pretty much nailed. I mean, I could talk film for hours, but I think that pretty much nails it in terms of the four questions.
All right. I will. This is not fair, and I apologize because I don't edit these, but since we were extra quick, it's not even 15 minutes.
Okay.
You want to name a guilty pleasure?
Film that is a guilty pleasure. I know I'm going to come back and think of a perfect one, but one that pops into my head is, I would say, Repo Men.
Repo Man.
Not Man.
Oh, Men.
Men.
Repo Men.
With Forrest Whitaker and Jude Law.
Really? Have you seen that? I don't know it.
Okay, that was kind of one that flew under the radar. It's about body parts and like repoing artificial body parts from people who can't pay their bills. So it's an interesting film. But it, you know, I wouldn't say, is it exceptional? No, but it's interesting. And I enjoyed it. And yeah, I would say guilty pleasure.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. I'll join you on it. I never give my answers, but there was a really dumb, silly film when I was in college called Summer School, starring Mark Harmon, of all things. I think he was like the basketball coach who got stuck teaching summer school. It was just a dumb high school comedy. And I watched that probably on VHS like 100 times. So I bought it. I used VHS at the video store. And man, we watched that all the time. We just love that movie.
You know what? Actually, I thought of another one that actually is much more of a guilty pleasure, because I think a true guilty pleasure is something that's pretty much panned, but you love it and you keep watching it anyways. Whereas Repo Men, you know, it didn't do well, but I don't know if it's guilty pleasure enough. So I have one to add to that. And that would be Cyborg, starring Jean-Claude Van Damme.
There you go, a Jean-Claude film, a Van Damme film. Why not?
Yeah, it's that apocalyptic cyborg thing. I don't know. It's got a vibe to it that I enjoy. And the music's bizarre, but I enjoy it too. Something about it just keeps pulling me back.
All good. Excellent. All right, well, to wrap up, you want to name your website and stuff for people to check out?
Yeah, it's Chris Brown, so E at the end of Brown, so B, Chris, CHRISBROWNE, digital.com.
And I didn't say this at the end of your interview podcast, but that will be a clickable link in the show notes, as is the podcast parlance. In the show notes, there'll be, heck, we could even do a link to your LinkedIn if you want me to.
Yeah, please do. Yep.
I'll write down. I'll give myself that note as soon as I finish my closing ramble, which is thank you everyone for listening to the Discover Indie Film Podcast. I'm Jeff Howard. I program 2 film festivals every year for like the last 8 years, and we have great Q&As at the theater that we run a little long for a festival, but it's still only about 10-15 minutes. And I was like, you know what? People have so much more to say. And I had this microphone, so now I have more than one microphone, but it started with one microphphone that I would slide back and forth till it was like halfway between us based on the volumes of our voice. So anyway, this podcast was started just to have filmmakers talk more about themselves and their work. And then the four questions things came up because I have a friend who's a professional drummer who always goes on social media and says, most underrated drummer of all time, most overrated drummer of all time. And I was like, ooh, I should do that for film. So anyway, thank you, Chris, for answering the questions and coming in. I'd love to ask everyone to like and subscribe to the podcast, maybe even write a positive review. Don't be a hater. Don't be a troll and write a negative review. Just don't bother if you don't like this. You should have stopped listening if you don't like this. And if you want to learn more about the podcast or the TV series it gave birth to, just go to discoverindiefilm.com, and on social media, it's at DIFWINS. I met Chris at Film Invasion Los Angeles, which is one of the 2 film festivals I mentioned. You can learn more about that festival that we hold every June if you go to filminvasionla.com, and it's at filminvasionla on social media. The other one that's coming up in like 3 months, so I should probably be shitting bricks while I sleep, is the Sherman Oaks Film Festival, and you can learn more about that if you go to shermanoaksff.com, and it's at shermanoaksff on social media. And the last thing to mention is have fun. Go to watchtvhigh.com or go onto your Roku TV, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, Android TV, Android Mobile, or iPhone, and go to your app store and type in TVHI. Yeah, just see what happens. It's a new streaming network, that streaming service, all great indie films. And with a twist. So anyway, I think that's all I have to mention. Chris Brown, you're a gentleman and a scholar.
Thanks, Jeff.
And a great guy. So thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Had a blast.
Thank you, everyone, for listening.